Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Savage Nation, Rock and Roll Friday. I'm here live filling in for myself. Michael Savage here. Earth Angel by the Penguins, a song that would be banned by the jihadists as being too, anti-religious or something. I kind of love this song myself. Just think how my life would have changed had there been Sharia law. I wouldn't have been able to bump and grind at 15. I wouldn't have been able to have my first alcoholic beverage at 15. What a different world it would be. Instead of that, I would have been taught how to cut heads off. That would have been tremendous. Tremendous advantage to the world I'm in. Anyhow, play it loud and we'll move on.
I'm just a fool. A fool in love with you.
That's when woman was glorified. Eternally. You know what's interesting to me? Here's a song, Earth Angel by the Penguins in the early 50s. It supposedly was a sexist era. And yet women were glorified and put on a pedestal and compared to angels. Now that there's such equality, tell me that a man still sings a song called Earth Angel. Just look what's happened as a result of all of this brainwashing and political cowardice. By the way, in the Savage Nation, we don't use the word political correctness. We use the words that are more appropriately correct, which is political cowardice, which now goes right to the soldier of Allah. You know him as Major Hassan, the man who Barack Obama apologized for, the man who Charlie Gibson on ABC News apologized for, the man on who MSNBC apologized for, the mass murderer, Major Hassan, who had a business card on which he wrote in code words, Soldier of Allah on his own business card, SOA, missed by the FBI, missed by the CIA, missed by Naval Intelligence Services, missed by every intelligence schmuck in the United States of America who continued to pursue a case against U.S. Marines who did their jobs and jihadist on his own business card. Major Hassan, Soldier of Allah, SOA. Now, if you think I'm making this up because I'm a right-winger and you're such an effete left-wing Democrat, good guy all around, please do me a favor. Open your eyes before you are unable to open your eyes. Go to michaelsavage.com. See the business card that your friend, Major Hassan, was giving out openly. Behavioral Health, Nidal Hassan, MD, MPH, psychiatrist. And on it, which he has code words for who he really was on his private cards, it said SOA, Soldier of Allah, on his own business card. Now, here we have trillion-dollar agencies with computer banks and affirmative action investigations and EEOC and let's meet and let's talk and let's make sure we're all doing our job and look over your shoulder and make sure we have enough diversity and we have enough of this and enough of that and enough of that and enough of this. And are we sure we look good to the president the next time he gives a speech? But they can't protect you from a rubber band, let alone a terrorist who is about to kill people on an army base. That's the sad state of America today, and whether you accept it or not is a matter of whether you are sane or not. Here is a man who just executed 13 individuals, including a pregnant woman, injured well over 30 people who will be in pain for the rest of their lives on Earth. The man was marching around with a business card which said Soldier of Allah on it. This was a man, a major in the Army, who we were told the diversity is more important than survival, according to General Casey. Here is a man who Charlie Gibson of ABC News says that Muslims in the army face discrimination and is worse than the Japanese in World War II. Here is a man who many in the media have made excuse after excuse for. And here is a man who openly had a card on which he contained a code word for his religion in the sense of S-O-A. S-O-A. Now, of course, anyone who is in the intelligence business knows what that means. Watchdogs say the first letters are shorthand among Muslim militants to meaning soldier of Allah, S-O-A, soldier of Allah. The last letters on this, S-W-T, Subhanahu wa ta'ala, which means glory to God. Now, when you consider that we have vermin in the media who attack Christians on a regular basis, spit in the face of the cross, tear down the Ten Commandments wherever they appear, urinate, literally urinate, Larry David on Jesus's picture on a show on HBO, and yet these brave liberals let a thing like this slap them right in the face. How in the world could Nidal Hassan, who has executed these people and injured so many people, get away with it? When his own card, he was literally laughing in the face of the U.S. military. And by the way, in his little medicine bag, did you hear what they found in his medicine bag? Did anyone hear about that in your local paper? Among the medicines found in his upstairs in his apartment were vitamins, medications. That's nothing unusual about that. I take vitamins and everyone has some medications. But what's odd is that amongst the medications that the murderer, the mass murderer had was Combivar, a drug used to treat HIV, with a stash of about a dozen pills left in the bottle, according to the Dallas Morning News, not the right-wing maniac news. We'd like to know why in 2001 the HIV medication was given to Hassan at Lackland Air Force Base in San Antonio. The newspaper would like to know why Hassan had the HIV medication or whether he was taking it. Does anyone have an answer to that one? Does anyone have a little question or answer to that? Is there a short answer question or short answer answer to any of this in Major Nidal Hassan's personal pharmaceutical cabinet? Now, we have been told by Obama that the killer simply cracked. Nothing to do with Islam, nothing to do with Muslim, even though he screamed Allah Akbar. And his card said S-O-A, S-W-T on it. And of course, S-O-A means soldier of Allah, and S-W-T means submission to God, glory to God. Apparently, Obama didn't get that before he dashed off for Peking duck. So let's replay clip 27 from your leader, your supreme leader, Obama.
Look, we have seen in the past rampages of this sort. And in a country of 300 million people, there are going to be instances in which an individual cracks.
Okay, an individual cracks. In other words, he cracked. No reference to Allah, no reference to Allahu Akbar and S-O-A-S-W-T. Then there was the famous Charlie Gibson piece from earlier in the week where this pile of uselessness with a big voice from ABC, a man who has a big voice. Listen to clip 25.
It's not easy for anyone serving in the armed forces these days, but with America fighting Islamic enemies overseas, Muslim troops face a unique burden. Bill Weir joins us now. Bill
Charlie, Weir? The Pentagon has made a real concerted effort to create a military that is culturally sensitive and religiously tolerant. But isn't Muslims in uniform today face a challenge not seen since Japanese Americans fought in World War II. They taste suspicion from some fellow soldiers who question their loyalty and resentment from fellow Muslims opposed to both American wars.
That's terrible. So the answer is to do what the Japanese Americans did in World War II. Would you like some logic, schmuck? Here's the logic. The Japanese Americans faced discrimination because Pearl Harbor had been bombed by Japanese. So naturally, the little white crackers who had to go bleed on Iwo Jima and the little white crackers who had to go bleed on every island to Tokyo, to Japan, were a little leery of Japanese at that time. You have to understand they were primitive. They had not yet been brainwashed by all of the girls and boys from NYU. So the cracker was a little leery of the Japanese at that time. So in order to allay the fears of the cracker, what the military did was they created an all-Japanese-American brigade, the 442nd, which I told you about. And, by the way, the 442nd, in order to prove their loyalty to America beyond anyone's doubt, engaged in some of the most brave acts of World War II. They were sent to fight largely, if I'm a student, an amateur student of World War II, they fought in Italy primarily. Many of them were butchered, and they were the most highly decorated unit in World War II, and no one has ever doubted Japanese Americans since World War II, ever. Nobody has ever doubted the loyalty of Japanese Americans ever again, because they proved themselves beyond a reasonable doubt. So what would Charlie Gibson have us do? Tell me what he would have us do, these vermin in the media, these left-wing worms. You know, when I use the word vermin, there's a meaning for it. It comes from the Latin root worm, okay? Now you understand what the word is? They are nothing but worms, these people. And they're very dangerous because the people who have put us in the state that we are in today, the state of paralysis, the state of submission that we are in, has been done primarily by the worms in the media. And let me tell you something. If the FBI, the CIA, Naval Intelligence Services, and others missed Nidal Hassan's card, which said SOA, SWT on it, then tell me what in the hell they're going to get right. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Savage Nation Rock and Roll Friday Edition. While our president is dining on Peking duck, we the people are here mopping up the blood of the rampage by Major Hassan. We're not letting it go. We're not going to let it go because there are too many unanswered questions, too many failures, too many deadbeats in the United States government who are collecting fat checks just waiting for their retirement. And their job is to protect us, for we the people to sit here like a bunch of idiots. We created a Department of Homeland Security. What have they done? Where's Janet Napolitano issuing reports on the dangers of returning Army veterans and right-wing conservatives on radio and others? She has had nothing to say. She was in Abu Dhabi talking to Muslim women to make sure there was no backlash against Muslims. You hear that was the first thing. Now, let me go to the Muslim community itself so you understand what's really going on. Muslim veterans group says no reports of harassment of Islamic soldiers. It's interesting to me that the vermin in the media, like Charlie Gibson, like the vermin on MSNBC, are talking about harassment of Islamic soldiers when the Muslim Veteran Affairs Organization itself says there has been no report of harassment of Islamic soldiers in America, despite claims to the contrary by the vermin in the media. And I'll cite a name. Abdul Rashid Abdullah, Deputy Director of the American Muslim Armed Forces and Veterans Affairs Council, said that they have not received a single report of a U.S. soldier being harassed simply because he was Muslim. Quote, that kind of report is inconsistent with what we've heard. But who's making up the story that there's discrimination against Muslims? Charlie Gibson of ABC, MSNBC. It virtually everybody in the liberal media is saying that Muslims are being picked on in the media, but the Muslims themselves said there is no such discrimination. So who are you going to believe, those in the media who want to make you feel guilty for being an American who's concerned, or you're going to believe the Muslims themselves? And by the way, of the 1.4 million people, of the people in the military right now, as of the last August, there were 3,557 active duty troops. That's a small number. Sounds like that's off. And that's a very small number of them, by the way. Something wrong. It says the largest 1.4 million troops. Sorry, they switched it backwards in the military. 1.4 million troops. And it says Roman Catholic is the largest religious preference identifiable, 284,000, followed by no preference, and 3,557 active duty troops who say they're Muslim. 1,710 Muslims are currently serving in the Army, by far the most of any service branch. So it's a small number of individuals who are of the Muslim faith. But the take-home message for you to have around dinner tonight is that although the vermin in the media are saying that there's discrimination against Muslims in the military, the actual American Muslim Armed Forces and Veterans Affairs Council says they haven't received a single report of such a complaint. So again, it's the rats in the media trying to stir up hatred against the American people. 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. Soldier of Allah. Tyler, Texas. Scotty, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Hi, Dr. Savage. I just wanted to bring up the fact that children in the church, in the Christian church, will say, I'm in the Lord's army. And I don't feel like this business card was enough of a red flag. There were a lot of others, for sure.
Wait, say that again. Children say I'm in God's army. What is that? You mean are there children in the army who have cards?
Well, it's just a children's song to sing. I may never march in the infantry, you know, but I'm in the Lord's army.
But Scotty, we're talking about an active military member, a psychiatrist, a major, who had a business card where he says major. He doesn't say doctor. He says major. And on it, he says SOA, soldier of Allah. He didn't say soldier of God. Wouldn't that be a giveaway to our geniuses in the intelligence business that something is wrong here?
Then he hired a lawyer to try to get him out of going into the field, and he was counseling people for who were coming back from the field. I think that was a red flag that he was trying
all
to
right.
get out.
Well, I think that anyone who has Soldier of Allah on their business card is already signaling a little something that we ought to be looking at. Now, by the way, if I'm slightly off today, if I'm instead of running on a V16, I'm running on a V15 and a half, I have 16 cylinders in my head, it's because I had dental surgery yesterday, and I'm still having the slight after effects. And forgive me for having fun today. If I miss a beat here and there, it's because of the laughing gas. Actually, I don't take laughing gas. I hate the stuff. And no, seriously, I had a tooth and thing, something from an injury from when I was a kid and got into a fist fight. These things happen years later, front tooth. Would you believe it? All the stuff that we did when we were young, when you get older, you have to pay for. When you're young, you don't even pay for it. When you're older, you pay for it. The tooth came out. You had to put a titanium thing in. All from a thing in a hallway in the Bronx. Would you believe it? From years and years and years ago. I can still remember the punch. I saw stars. You ever get hit in the nose? Did you ever get punched in the nose? You know, until you're punched in the nose, you don't know what reality is. It reminds me of a story that I told you only once in 15 years. A man goes to Einstein after Einstein published the theory of general relativity, and he says, Herr Einstein, there is no reality. There is no reality. I agree with you. It's all imaginary. Whereupon Albert Einstein jumps up, slaps the man in the face, and says to him, why did you do that? The man says. He says, is there reality now? Of course there's reality. What do you mean there's no reality? Tell that to the 13 dead and the 30-some-odd wounded that there's no reality. Tell that to the parents who have a flag on their bureau instead of a son that there is no reality. Tell that to all the schmucks who voted for Obama because they thought he was different. Savage. Tell them there's...
Well, that'll be the day when you say goodbye. Yes, that'll be the day when you make me cry. You say you're gonna leave. You know it's a lie, 'cause that'll be the day.
You know what I want to stop hearing about is Hassan's medical condition. I can't stand hearing that he's paralyzed from his lawyer. I hate it. I am so tired of hearing that he has no feeling in his legs. Tell that to the people who are in the ground, you piece of garbage, you. They're telling us Hassan has told his attorney he has no feeling in his legs. He has pain in his hands. His lawyer, Galligan, has said that he's paralyzed from the waist down. He said his client's medical condition is extremely serious and that Hassan didn't flinch when Galligan touched his leg. Are you not sickened by this insanity? Do you care whether Hassan is paralyzed or not? Are you people crazy? What's more important is why the intelligence agencies failed us. What's more important is why Obama ran to China to get away from the heat in the kitchen. What's more important is why this Hassan was communicating with Pakistan, sending money back and forth. What's more important is how he's got away virtually with murder so far because of the political cowardice in the media. Here's a news story that you should know about. This just came out minutes ago here on the Savage Nation and everywhere else. Remember Congressman Jefferson in New Orleans, that upstanding fine gentleman, where they found $90,000 in his freezer and he claimed it was racism? Remember him, the freezer cash case back in the New Orleans days before the levees broke, before the whites broke the levees in order to harm minorities, according to Jesse Jackson? Well, the $90,000 man... That is Congressman, whatever his name is, former congressman from Louisiana, who stashed cash in his freezer, was sentenced moments ago to 13 years in prison for taking hundreds of thousands of dollars in bribes in exchange for using his influence to broker business deals in Africa. The sentence handed down in suburban Washington of 13 years was far less than the 30 years prosecutors had sought for William Jefferson, a Democrat. By the way, you have to read the article 5 times to see Democrat. If you recall, investigators investigating him found $90,000 wrapped in foil and hidden in boxes of frozen pie crust. I'm sorry. I'm still in pain. Hidden in boxes of frozen pie crusts in his freezer. Oh, God. This is unbelievable. This is astounding what we have going on. Jefferson said nothing in court after he was sentenced. Blah, blah, blah. In August, the FBI agents found $90,000 in cash. Prosecutor said he had planned to use the money to pay a bribe to the then vice president of Nigeria to secure a multimillion-dollar telecommunications deal there. The money ended up in the freezer after a disgruntled businesswoman, Lori Modi, agreed to wear a wire after... Well, you read the whole story. My heart's already pounding from the medication. I don't know how much more of this I can take. I don't know how much more I can take of this country. I don't know where to go, n'importe où, dehors du monde, anywhere out of this world. I mean, to throw in a little French from my college days, you know, it's reaching that point. I feel like Antoine de Saint-Exupéry, n'importe où, dehors du monde. I don't mean to sound too sharp, but the fact is, if you're from the Bayou country, you can understand what I just said since I speak French with a New York accent. N'importe où, dehors du monde, whatever, okay? Now it gets even worse. Keek Shalid Mohammed, whatever his name is, Keek Sheik Khalid Mohammed, whatever his name is, fuck the name, Sheik Khalid Mohammed, whatever his name is, the 9/11 mastermind, Obama, in his inimitable wisdom before flying off to enjoy Peking duck, is going to try Keek Shalid Mohammed in the United States of America, New York City. Now, to haul the 9/11 mastermind and four alleged vermin to a New York courthouse, according to Obama, is a nightmare. Do you have any idea what's going to go on? Attorney General Eric Holder, who is a friend, as you well know, of Obama. Eric Holder is the man who released Mark Rich. He's the man who released Puerto Rican terrorists. And Eric Holder just said that he's going to bring Khalid Sheikh Mohammed and four other sterling vermin detained at Gitmo to trial in a lower Manhattan courthouse right near the World Trade Center, whose twin towers they will be charged with destroying. Now, what do you think is going to happen as a result of this? What is going to happen is some vermin from NYU Law, combined with others on psychoactive drugs from Columbia and Harvard, the folks whose parents fled the Tsar of Russia, if you don't like it, you can shove it for all I care, the people who literally foam at the mouth to defend those who would throw them down a well and cut their children into little pieces. I know some of these people very well. Most of them are on medication. Most of them hate America. Most of them are psychotic. And most of them are multimillionaire lawyers. They are going to make a mockery of America that you've never seen. They are going to put the CIA on trial. In fact, they're jumping for joy right now. They're screaming with glee right now, trying to get the case, because what fun and what mockery they can make of men who risk their lives to bring these rats to justice. They're going to bring the CIA on trial. The lawyers are going to put the CIA on trial. They're going to put the FBI on trial. They're going to put soldiers on trial. The same way these rats do this to cops every day of the week somewhere in America, they're going to do it to the U.S. intelligence community. And that's why Eric Holder, a good friend of the Puerto Rican terrorists and Mark Rich, insisted that they be brought to New York for a trial. Because the courts in New York are to justice as military music is to Mozart. 1-800-449-8255. So Eric Holder said that the court system in New York is strong enough to deliver a guilty verdict. What he doesn't want to tell you is that the very same people who Khalid Mohammed would gladly cut into pieces while chanting to Allah will be tripping over themselves in order to defend him. And this is going to be one of the worst insults to America that you have ever seen. You're never going to believe what's coming. You know that the lawyers for this man and the accused will try to have charges thrown out based on the rough treatment of the detainees at the hands of U.S. interrogators. You know that the left wing is going to come out in New York in favor of the terrorists like Khalid Sheikh Mohammed instead of the people that he killed at in the Twin Towers. You know that every left-wing piece of human garbage is going to come out chanting in their favor and for Sheikh Mohammed instead of taking the side of the American people. You know that that's why Obama and his good friend Eric Holder did this. 1-800-449. You know, it's getting worse by the day. It's unbelievable to me. You know what the left is going to do during this trial. We have a president who doesn't know we're at war, or a president who does know we're at war, who's basically careless about it, or worse yet, I'll let it go with that. I'll stop the sentence right there. He is going to turn these barbarians into victims. He is going to use lawyers from NYU and Columbia, for whom the law is nothing but a mockery, who is going to put the people who are dead on trial rather than those who put them in the ground on trial. And why in New York? Why would Holder have put them on trial in New York City? Why next to the World Trade Center? Why, if he's going to bring them to America, didn't he try them in Virginia or Washington, D.C.? Why would he send them to New York City to a courthouse right near the World Trade Center? I'll let you figure out who Eric Holder is, who Barack Hussein Obama is, on your own, boys and girls. I'll let you put two and two together. One day you'll come up with four. Okay? Seattle, Washington. Alan, you're up on the Savage Nation.
Hi, Dr. Savage. Yeah, you already said most of the thing I was going to say, but I was just wondering, don't you think that this bringing Khalid Sheikh Mohammed is really going to, to New York, is really going to crush Obama's personal approval ratings?
No. No, no, the left wing is probably going to approve of it because they're on the side of the terrorist. They're actually glad the World Trade Centers went down.
Yeah, but overall approval ratings of the whole country, like taken below 50%. I can't, every working guy in the world wants to see Khalid Sheikh Mohammed swinging at the end of a rope. And they want to screw around for the next 5 years and $50 million with a show trial? Are they crazy?
Yes. With lawyers that Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, whatever his name is, would gladly slash to pieces while chanting to Allah and saw their head off while they're alive like it did to Danny Pearl. Those very lawyers will be defending him by attacking the intelligence agencies and making a mockery of our CIA, our FBI, and our military who did their jobs right. They're also going to put on trial the interrogators. They're going to put on trial the CIA. That is why Obama, Holder, and Patrick Leahy did this. This is so they can put the CIA on trial. Make no mistake about it. This is Nancy Pelosi's handprints all over this.
I realize it's going to hurt his approval rating.
Nancy Pelosi's paw prints are all over this.
Realize
of course it's going to hurt. Obama cares whether it's going to hurt us? When did Obama ever care whether something hurt America? Can you show me one instance when he cared what would hurt America?
His personal approval rating.
Well, you see, I have a different feeling about that than most people do. People keep saying about his approval ratings. I think that his agenda is far more important than his approval rating, because if he pushes his radical left-wing agenda fast enough and far enough in a short enough period of time, it doesn't matter whether we vote again or not. It won't matter. It'll be all over.
Right.
You understand what I'm saying to you? If he floods this country with 30 million illegal aliens, he will be like Idi Amin in America. He'll be a president for life. He'll eliminate term limits and he'll get reelected till he's 75 years old. Because as you well know, the illegal alien is an automatic D. They have no idea what they're voting for. They're told who to vote for. Thanks for the call. I wasn't even supposed to be on the air today. You'll have to forgive me. I cry on the air about my operation. But I have a dental thing and I shouldn't be on the air today. I'm supposed to be off, but I can't. The news is so horrible. The president escaping his responsibilities by going for Peking duck in China is nauseating. This is after the worst mass murder in history on an army base. He has the nerve to leave the country. You call this a leader? This is a leader? This is your idea of leadership? And the very next day we hear from his lawyer there, Eric Holder, they're going to try these murderers, these barbarians in New York City, two blocks from the World Trade Center area. Larry in New York, WOR, go ahead, you're on the air, go ahead.
When the Guantanamo inmates who are going to be tried in Lower Manhattan confessed to guilt, they didn't have their memory recovery therapy from the NYU lawyers.
What do you mean? When did they confess?
I heard on the radio that they confessed and they asked to be executed.
Oh. Well, I didn't hear that part of it. Don't you agree with me that the lawyers for these characters, these barbarians, are going to put on trial all of the people who actually brought them to justice? Isn't that the purpose of bringing it to New York?
All right, I interrupted you. I don't want to sound like a Russian, but of course, that's a strong yes.
Oh, God, how do you live in New York? People ask me how I live in San Francisco. The answer is I don't. I exist in San Francisco. I think I'm going to move to Texas. If only Texas had there is an area of Texas on the Gulf of Mexico. Maybe I'll go into the shrimp business and then end it. Or that way I can have all the shrimp I want and know that they're fresh. Anyway, look, what are you going to do? I got a migraine. My tooth hurts. Play Barbara Ann for me on the Savage Nation on Rock and Roll Friday. That's what I want to hear.
Barbara Ann.
I'll tell you the story about this. I'll tell you Barbara Ann's story. Play it for a minute. I'll get 30 seconds of music. Let him enjoy himself. Did I tell you the one about... All right, turn it on. I think I had a friend who sang in this song. I think he was in the group, the Regents. I remember we were in junior high school. He was more mature than... You ever see the kids that look like men when they were 12? There was always like somebody in the crowd. They shaved already. You know what I'm talking about. They're like 12-year-old, they had deep voices and beards. You were still prepubescent, you know. And it was, and they were always like dating 17-year-old girls. They were 13, that kind of... He was that kind of kid, but he had blonde hair. Good-looking boy. So he became a rock and roll singer. He hit it big, went to Japan. Meanwhile, we're schlepping through geometry in the 10th grade, and he's driving around in a Jaguar with a license. And, you know, he was like on top of the world. He looked like Elvis Presley. As the years go on, and as, you know, we're moving forward into college, and I get out of college maybe 7 years later, he already had peaked. He had had one rock and roll song and another half a song and never went anywhere. Meanwhile, he was now a postman. I'm not knocking postmen, but his rock and roll, I'm sorry, career was already over, and he was a postman in Woodstock, New York. The pompadour was gone, and he's just an ordinary guy. Still a nice guy. I mean, but the Jaguar was gone. There was no longer a singing career, and he was a mailman in Woodstock. Can you imagine how life goes on? It's just amazing. A lot of the guys I knew, in other words, who did very, very well young, either they peaked early or they dropped by the wayside at a certain point. But then there's the other guys who took a long time to get going. And they're actually still not even at their peak. And that's an interesting story and brings me to a question, which I'm not going to ask you because it'll throw us off the track of the problems that we have right now with the political cowardice in our government and in the media. Which is, if you really had a choice, would you rather make it big when you're young or when you're older? Now, it's an interesting question that if you had the choice, you don't have the choice, but if you did, let's say you had the choice to make it big when you're young or when you're older, which would you choose? And you can't have both. In other words, you can't make it big when you're young and say that I'm going to invest it wisely and have it when I'm older. So I have to finalize the question. I have to polish it a little. If you had the choice to make it big when you're young and have nothing when you're older, or have nothing when you're young and have it big when you're older, which would you choose? That's really the question. There's a lot to be said for both because, you know, when you get older, you don't have the physical ability to enjoy it as much as when you're younger to the same extent, obviously. On the other hand, when you get older, you have a lot more needs and you're a little more fragile and it's good to have that cushion. But meanwhile, you've missed all those years that you could have had when you were young. So on the other hand, when you're young, you can enjoy it more, particularly if you're a married guy and you have kids and you want to share it with them. But most young guys don't even think like that anymore. Who knows why I'm getting distracted? It could be the residuals. You want to talk about art instead? Would you like to talk about art that we will no longer be able to see if we permit men like Major Hassan have their way with us? If you allow them to destroy Western civilization, you won't ever be able to see a painting by Magnus Zeller called The Orator, or by Hermann Scherer called Sleeping Woman and Boy with Boy. You ever see that picture? Or how would you like to see a piece of sculpture by Ernst Barlock, God the Father hovering? These pieces of genius would never have been made nor seen had we had the barbarians with no education whatever who think that they're such holy men. And as far as you women go, do you have any idea what's at stake for you? Because only you should be speaking out more loudly than anyone, even if you're a liberal woman. Do you have any idea what's at store for you if you don't stand up and fight against these pieces of throwback? If you don't stand up and fight these throwbacks wherever you see them, you're going to wind up with your entire body covered in some dirty, filthy sheet. That's why even Sarkozy is saying full body coverings like burkas have no place in a Western civilization. In other words, do as we do or don't come here at all. That's what Sarkozy said. How come we don't even have one leader in America willing to say that? How come? How come? How come? I'll be back.
Savage.
Oh, life.
life could be a dream. If I could take you up in paradise up above. If you would tell me I'm the only one that you love. Life could be a dream, sweetheart. Hello,
it is. Is it Friday the 13th, Rock and Roll Friday show?
Life could be a dream.
Rock and Roll Friday, Friday the
13th.
Shaboom, shaboom. Think of all the modern art that would never have been produced had these barbarians been in charge of your nation. Think of, you know, I'm trying to speak to the liberals out there. Turn it off already. They can't hear me. I like the song, but no one can hear it. They can't hear me over that. I'm a guy who likes museums. I don't go that often. I don't have the time. But when I do, I love to spend hours and hours walking through the museum. But what I'm saying is, think about this if you're a liberal and you don't know what's going on around you. You know, you just want to be nice to everyone and get along. You believe in live and let live, which we all do. But what if you're facing an enemy who doesn't believe in live and let live? Haven't you come to understand that your enemy is your sworn enemy who doesn't just want to live amongst you? He wants to kill you unless you practice life his way. That would mean all of the paintings in all of your museums would be burned. That would mean all of the statues going back to Greek times would be destroyed by these barbarians, these throwback uneducated barbarians. Do I have to spell out for you what you are facing unless you join the battle? And that means join the battle mentally at first. At least mentally join the battle. Everything that you love, everything that you love as a liberal would be gone from you. Even that glass of wine that you like would be taken away from you. Do you understand this? I'm trying to make this as real for you as I can. Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, who Obama has nicely put on trial in New York City, two blocks from the World Trade Center, instead of letting him be tried in Guantanamo and killed by now and sent back to the hellhole he came from. They all should have been tried and killed by now, executed and killed by a military firing squad. Instead, they're going to come to New York, where the lowest of lawyers can make a mockery of our intelligence agencies.
Savage.
Warning, The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Savage Nation. I think I'm going to shift gears. You know where I stand on the barbarians. You know where I stand on our intelligence agencies and how they dropped the ball on Major Hassan. You know where I stand on Obama dashing off to Asia when he never should have left the country at this time. And so therefore, what do I have to do? Every minute spell out the same thing over and over and over again. This weekend, we have a big fight to look forward to, those of us who are fight fans. Pacquiao versus Miguel Cotto. I may watch that fight, Pacquiao being the very, very fast Philippine fighter. Cotto being a very, very fast Mexican fighter. It's going to be an amazing boxing match for those of you who like the manly art of boxing, which is amazing to watch. I actually think I like boxing better than I do extreme fighting. I don't like them bashing each other in the ring, blood. I don't go for it. I don't like to watch it for the sport of the blood. It starts to bother me at a certain point. So boxing is far more dignified in a strange way, and it's losing its audience even more so than ever. People like the cage fighting much more now. I don't know how women like that. How do women like to watch men beat each other up, good-looking, strong men killing each other? But there are guys who like it. I mean, I'm not saying don't do it. There are guys who live to fight. They love it. They don't feel good unless they're getting battered or beating somebody. I understand that as well. It's real. It's real to them. And can you blame them in a world where everything is so full of crap? Can you blame them when they live in a world where politicians are so full of you-know-what, and nobody tells them the truth, everybody lies to everybody, and a guy gets in the ring with another guy? I mean, that's a reality, too. I mean, that's not my world, but it's their world, and you have to respect that world, because it's a real tough world. And it's not going to go away. It's going to get even more and more and more popular, I think, as this age of political garbage goes on. Government is seizing mosques, huh? Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's until they get the lawyers out from NYU. How dare you touch a house of worship? How dare you? It's a house of worship. Blah, 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 blah. Eric Holder moves the Khalid Sheikh Mohammed and five of the worst barbarians you've ever imagined who were involved in 9/11. They bring him. He brings him to New York City for trial, two blocks from the World Trade Center. What an insult. What an insulting administration this is. And there's Obama now in Asia. He's in Asia now. He's going to give a speech Friday night. I guess that's not yet Friday night in Asia yet. It's minus? Yes, minus 8, right? Minus 8 hours over there, hasn't it? Still getting ready. He's eating the sushi, whatever. I hope he doesn't have the same chef that George Bush the first had. Let's pray to God he doesn't have the same chef that they gave Bush 1 with the puke job. That was embarrassing. Remember that when many of you don't remember it? When he ate and he vomited? It was like too much for him to trip, the father. It was awful. What an embarrassment. For an American president to throw up during a state dinner, wow. I hope it was just that they didn't like raw fish or something. Anyway, he survived it, thank God. And he was going to speak tonight, then he goes on to bow down to people in... why is he on so many foreign trips, one after the other? You know, the man is going to give this as the fifth foreign major address in 10 months of presidency. Five trips already in 10 months, and this one he's going to again apologize to everyone in Asia for how bad a nation we are. Then he's going to be at a meeting after Tokyo. He's going on to, you remember Teddy Roosevelt said, talk softly and carry a big stick? Remember that one? I don't know what it is with Obama. He talks softly and carries no stick. What has he done to North Korea? Nothing. Pyongyang has enough weapons-grade plutonium for a half dozen nuclear bombs, and our Navy does nothing. We could have stopped him a year ago, 2 years ago. Bush could have done it. Bush could have ordered the men in the Navy to launch and take down the launching platforms, but he didn't do that. At a certain point, it's too late. North Korea is never going to comply with his demands. Why should they? The same reason Iran wouldn't comply. Why should they? So then after Japan, he's on to Singapore. And he's going to be in a meeting with the leader of Myanmar, you used to know it as Burma, which has a killer regime. Now it's known as Myanmar. And he's the first U.S. president to sit in the same room with these dictators in history. Then he flies on to his controllers, I mean his friends in China, where he's not going to mention one word about Tibet. It's strange because all of the lunatics in Hollywood, they used to have signs for years, free Tibet, free Tibet, free Tibet. And I used to ask the few I run into, excuse me, sir, I say, Sonny, wait a minute, you're against the war in Iraq, but you want war with China over Tibet? What were they obsessed with Tibet for? I never understood. What do you mean free Tibet? From who? From China. So how do you free Tibet? You want a hydrogen war with China? It's not your business. Shut your mouth and move on. Now, why were guys like the gerbil guy, whatever his name was, who was the gerbil man? I don't know his name. Richard Gere, the gerbil man. Why was he obsessed with Tibet? I'll never know. How do they latch on to such causes? I don't understand it. Tibet, free Tibet, free Tibet. He's not going to mention Tibet. And then he's going to come back after eight days now he's away to get away from all his troubles over here. He's going to come back in time to push a global warming cap and trade, the health care, schmealth care, all aboard. And in China, he has a real problem. He's not going to stand up to the Chinese on human rights because that's been dropped by Hillary Clinton. There's no issue of human rights with China since Bush left office because the libs would embarrass themselves and Obama if they brought it up. So therefore, there are no human rights abuses in China to worry about. And then he's going to come back through South Korea where we at least have some allies for sure. And then he'll come home and God knows what left-wing agenda will be waiting for us then. Anyway, what do you want to talk about? Any topic? You know, leave me alone already with Major Hassan. We know that the guy was signaling, I'm going to do it. Basically, like the mad bomber walking around saying, I will kill. and everyone looked the other way because he was a Muslim. You want any other questions? You want any other answers? I mean, how do you want to deal with this? Let's talk about other things. New York, WOR. Debs, you're up on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Yes, hi, Dr. Savage. First, I want to talk about boxing. I am a great boxing fan. My father boxed in university at Oxford, so he got me into it, and I absolutely love the sport.
Your father was a boxer in college. Isn't that interesting? That's an unusual background.
Yeah, and he also did track and basketball. He had a lot of medals.
What did your father do for a profession when he left university?
Okay, he was in millinery, corrugated boxes, and business.
Where? In what city? Maybe he's a relative of mine.
He was in New York and in Jamaica, West Indies.
He was in New York?
Yep, and in Jamaica, West Indies.
Your last name doesn't begin with a J, does it?
No.
Okay, well, we'll go past that. So is your father still with us here?
No, he's not, and he was my idol.
Oh, that's sad. How old was he when he passed away?
He was young. He had a blood clot, so he was in his early 40s.
Oh, that's heartbreaking. So he left you alone, or you have siblings?
No, I'm an only child.
Oh, that's even worse.
About it. And I grew up with him.
Oh, he raised you?
Excuse me, but my aunties and uncles raised me because I had a load of them. My grandmother had 14.
Really?
Yep, in the old days, you know. And
all, what's your ethnic background, Deb?
A mixture of Jewish and Jamaican.
14 children?
Yep. And
which side of the family was into the 14 children?
Actually, believe it or not, the Jewish side.
That's amazing. Not from that generation is very. Your father went to Oxford?
Yep. Practically his whole family went to Oxford or Cambridge.
And he was the Jewish side or the Jamaican side?
He was the Jamaican Jewish side.
You mean he was Jamaican Jewish himself? He was of mixed heritage in that regard.
There's a lot of there's a lot of Jews there. Syrian, Sephardic, Ashkenaz, a lot.
No, but I'm saying your dad was 100% Jewish, 100% Jamaican, or of mixed Jamaican Jewish heritage.
Mixed Jamaican Jewish heritage.
Oh, that's very intriguing. So he must have been some athlete.
He was awesome.
With the brain of a Jew and a body of a Jamaican, forget about it.
That's how he met my mother, through the boxing. He used to take her to boxing matches because she loved them.
Yeah, well, he must have been some man. It's a shame that he passed away.
But
well, I mean, I know why you're drawn to my show. In a way, I fill in the gap from the voice point of view, right?
Oh, I love you. You have no idea.
Well, I probably sound like your father in certain ways, or I think the way he did.
Can I bring up, you do. You do so much. I tell that to all my friends. Can I bring one other point up, please?
Yes, hold it. I just made a mistake. I hit a button on my Telos machine and lost all my callers. Yes.
Okay. Go ahead. This really weird theory about why they're bringing everybody up to New York to try them.
Okay. Why?
You ready for this one?
Okay. Yeah, I am. I want to hear what you say. Sure.
Okay. I think they're doing it because, you know, wherever they have the trials, there's targets. And if there's a target in the biggest financial capital, once again, of the world, Obama gets away with his economic problems.
No, come on. You're saying they're doing it to invite another attack?
I wouldn't. You know, collateral damage to some politicians is nothing.
Well, there's a lot of theories on that. Oklahoma City came along at a very convenient time for a certain president. And they named Timothy McVeigh. And by the way, he was executed rapidly, Timothy McVeigh. Remember that? It was very interesting. You've got mass murderers on death row for 30 years with liberals crying every day with candles. How come Timothy McVeigh was executed so rapidly? Does anyone have an answer to that one?
Because I think they were trying to placate everybody at the time because they were
I think
scared.
They didn't want a witness to hang around in case the medication wore off.
Yeah, but I do think there are back ideas of why they're bringing them to New York, because there's no reason in the world to bring them where World Trade Center is. No reason.
No, it's an insult. Why would Holder have done a thing like this other than to slap people in the face?
Because they usually target places where their people are going on trial. And if anything happens in New York...
Wait, you're saying the barbaric enemy does that? Wherever the men are on trial, they like to attack that city?
They did it in 1993 when Sheikh, what was his name, the blind one? was on trial?
No, I don't remember their names. To me, when you say chic, I think of a certain product sold in drugstores.
He was on trial. 93, the World Trade Center had a problem. They were.
Are you going to watch the Pacquiao fight, Deb? You're going to pay for it?
Yes, I am.
You are? How much is it, like 50 bucks?
Probably.
So who do you watch it with?
Myself.
No, come on, Deb. You know that you just broke the hearts of probably 10,000 men listening to the show.
Because my dog and I are like...
Deb, you just said yourself, you probably have 10,000 men listening to the show would give anything to watch the fight with you. I just wanted to be nice, Deb, because I felt bad for you that you lost your father so long ago. It's a hard thing to live without a father. Let me tell you, everybody needs a parent, and as long as you have them, you should cherish them, no matter how difficult they are. It's all you've got, and once they're gone, you start reaching out for the phone, and there's no one to call. Because the last I tried, there's no answer in heaven.
You remind me so much of him. I never miss a show. I listen to it on the internet, so I get all the hours. And I just
Have you gotten banned in Britain yet? Did you order a copy yet?
No, not yet. I didn't have the chance, and I'm dying.
Well, you're going to have a free copy sent to you today, Deb, because I want you to have it, okay?
Thank you, you're a sweetheart, Dr. Savage.
All right, well, enjoy the fight. I'll see you here on the air on Monday on WOR. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Well, East Coast girls are hit by real.
It is Rock and Roll Friday on the Savage Nation. So what a week it's been, huh? America's getting punched around, boy. We're not punching back, are we? And our leader is nowhere to be found. That's the thing. Where's the pride and the dignity this country needs? Where are you going to find it? Who do you look up to? I mean, where do you turn for your sense of pride in your nation? Where a leader is supposed to give you, whether you agree with his policies, you know, 50-60% of the time or not, at least they're supposed to give a country a sense of pride. Does he give you a sense of pride? Does he really? I mean, truthfully. Does he make you feel proud to be an American? And if so, why? What has he done that makes you feel proud? Honest to God, the answer is I don't. I feel embarrassed every time he gives a speech because I know it's empty. It's empty rhetoric. He's a rhetorician, and his words are hollow. There's a word for that. There is a word for a person who can speak well and says nothing. I mean, you can come up with the jokes, politician. So I'd rather not waste their time complaining about Obama. We know he's a facile guy. We know he's a front man for the powers that be. We know that the Democratic Party is really in charge. We know that it's probably Goldman Sachs and a few other bankers who are running the world. And so we know all of that. And now what are we going to do? You need to know any more than the man can't even provide enough H1N1, meaning Mexican flu vaccine for the population, but the first 300 doses go to Wall Street, to Goldman Sachs, to the bankers on Wall Street. What did that tell you? What does that tell you? Listen to who got the first doses of the vaccine for the flu. The crooks on Wall Street and the prisoners at Guantanamo. That's to show you the priorities of this administration. To me, that if I were Mark Twain and I had his gifts, that's what I would be writing about. But since I'm not Mark Twain, I'm only Michael Savage, I'll do it the best way I know how. That's all. The first shots, there's a shortage of flu vaccine from the great genius. It's basically his Katrina, by the way. We have a flu epidemic, and he doesn't have enough vaccine produced. Why, he couldn't have done a Manhattan Project on the flu vaccine? He's busy spending his money on building what and where. Why didn't they just around the clock make enough vaccine for those who wanted it? I myself wouldn't take it. Personally, it's unproven. I tell you right now, I wouldn't let it near me. Even if it was required, I wouldn't let them give me an injection. I wouldn't take it. There are too many unknown variables, but that's irrelevant. There is not enough flu vaccine for the population at large that wants it. And who gets amongst which populations got the first doses? The Wall Street crooks who robbed the country and broke us financially, and the prisoners at Guantanamo who are barbaric throwbacks who would lead us into the dark ages. Why is that? Why are those the priorities of the Obama administration? Well, if you can figure that out, you can figure out why Eric Holder has brought them from Guantanamo to Manhattan for trial.
Savage.
With respect to Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, I believe that the Attorney General is going to be making an announcement this morning in the United States, this evening here. I don't want to preempt his news conference. This is a prosecutorial decision as well as a national security decision.
Nonsense.
Here's the thing that I will
Nonsense.
Say. I am absolutely convinced that Khalid Sheikh Mohammed will be subject to the most exacting demands of justice. The American people will insist on it. My administration will insist on it.
Yeah.
I'm sure
All
we'll
right.
have additional things to say after the Attorney General's press conference.
Yeah, right. Well, we had the Attorney General's press conference already, and Holder, the man who released six Puerto Rican terrorists under Bill Clinton, has decided in his wisdom to bring these barbarians to Manhattan. Listen to clip 11.
The 9/11 cases that will be pursued in federal court have been jointly assigned to prosecutors from the Southern District of New York and the Eastern District of Virginia, and will be brought in Manhattan in the Southern District of New York. After 8 years of delay, those allegedly responsible for the attacks of September the 11th will finally face justice. They will be brought to New York, to answer for their alleged crimes in a courthouse just blocks away from where the Twin Towers once stood.
Right. Well, that's good, Eric. That's what the Saudis asked you to do, no doubt, rather than try them in a military court 8 years ago and shoot them, which is what they deserved. I know they're alleged terrorists. We understand that, like Major Hassan is the alleged shooter. But see, but we the people are not subject to the same kind of constraints that you politicians are. We know these people are guilty. We know that they're responsible for 9/11. And we would have expected a more vigorous pursuit of justice on a rapid time frame. And they should have been executed by now. And it's shocking that you would have the nerve to bring them to the ground where they conducted these acts. Listen to clip 14.
For the many Americans who lost friends and relatives in the attacks of September the 11th, 2001, and on the USS Cole, nothing can bring back those loved ones. But they deserve the opportunity to see the alleged plotters of those attacks held accountable in open court, an opportunity that has too long been delayed.
Oh, my. Well, now let's go to a CNN report on radical Muslims in the UK. I know it has nothing to do with this, but let's listen to clip one.
Among Muslims in the United Kingdom, they are an angry minority.
Inshallah, one day, 10 Downing Street and the White House, inshallah.
They are uncompromising. Their goal, nothing short of Muslim domination of the United Kingdom, if not the world.
Really? Now let's listen to the nice Eric Holder, the difference in the voices and the difference in mentality. Let's listen to clip 15.
Today's announcement marks a significant step forward in our efforts to close Guantanamo and to bring to justice those individuals who have conspired to attack our nation and our interests abroad.
Now let's hear clip 2.
This poster is basically showing how we will transform Buckingham Palace into a local mosque. For the Muslims.
And what happens to the Queen?
Well, the Queen, she has a choice. She can either become Muslim or she can leave the countries.
Now let's hear clip 13.
Although the security issues presented by terrorism cases should never be minimized, our marshals, our court security officers, and our prison officials have extensive experience and training dealing with dangerous defendants, and I am quite confident that they can meet the security challenges posed by this case.
Now let's hear clip 3.
This man, Amjam Chowdhury, is their leader. He demands Islamic law, known as Sharia, to be the law of the land.
Alcohol will be banned, drugs will be banned, pornography will be banned, gambling will be banned.
Chowdhury's strategy is to pit Muslims against everyone else to create tension.
We do expect to enter into a struggle, if you like, of words, and maybe even more than that, before we can see the fruition of the Sharia, really, on state level.
Now clip 12.
I also want to assure the American people that we will prosecute these cases vigorously, and we will pursue the maximum punishment available. These were extraordinary crimes, and so we will seek maximum penalties. federal rules allow us to seek the death penalty for capital offenses, and while we will review the evidence and circumstances following established protocols, I fully expect to direct prosecutors to seek the death penalty against each of the alleged 9/11 conspirators.
Now, finally, a little clip seven should tie it up.
So it's very easy nowadays for people to build up links and communication very quickly. And then after that, you know, to disappear and to go off, you know, wherever they want to go.
And that means even though these radicalizers are only a small fraction of the Muslim faithful, they do pose a growing threat here in Europe and in the U.S. and throughout the world.
Now let's come back to America and let's go to our Madam Pelosi, who says it's fair, very fair to go to jail if you don't buy her health insurance. Listen to clip 22.
Do you think it's fair to send people to jail for not buying health insurance?
Well, the point is that we want to make sure that everyone has access to health care. For a long time now, people who haven't had have health care or provided it have placed the burden on others. We all have to do our part, and that is the point of the bill.
But, Madam Speaker, I'm just trying to understand. If you don't buy health insurance, you go to jail?
Well,
you didn't answer my question.
I think the legislation is very fair in this respect.
Now, finally, to top off this little melange of thought poems, we have the former Prime Minister of Spain, José María Aznar, talking about jihadists. Listen to clip 23.
Religions has just exploded in front of our faces in its most radical and dramatic expression on September 11th and thereafter. I am very aware that not all Muslims are jihadists, but all jihadists are Muslims.
Shocking. I wonder if he'll be banned from Britain. That's the former Prime Minister of Spain who just said, I'm very aware that not all Muslims are jihadists, but all jihadists are Muslims. Are you paying attention, Tony? I mean, Gordon Brown, because you might have a new candidate to put him on your ban list. You hear? Did you hear this? Well, anyway, now let's play a little rock and roll. How about Johnny Cash, I Walked the Line? Guess I'll tell you the truth.
Night is dark and day is light. I keep you on my mind both day and night.
There you go.
And happiness I've known proves that it's right. Because you're mine, I walk the line.
Mm-hmm. It is true, I walk the line. My head is always on a pivot. I walk the line.
You've got a way to keep me on your side. You give me calls for love.
All right, what would you like me to answer? Let's do open mic to Mike already. You know what I'm talking about here, why I mixed Eric Holder with the guy from London, mixed it in with this. What was I trying to tell you? You know the answer. The answer is the lion sleeps tonight. That was the answer. Okay? Doug, San Diego, you're up in the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Hey, thank you, Dr. Savage. Diversity is killing us. Muslims do not need to be protected against the angry American. This is complete nonsense. Americans are not dragging Muslims out of their homes and their mosque and beating them to death. It's we Americans that need to be protected against Muslims. And it's sickening to keep hearing liberals like progressives like Chris Matthews coddling Islam and Muslims like they are the victims.
Long list of offenses against Western civilization for the last 20 years, and you'll see every one of them is by radical Muslims against people who are going about their business and practicing their lives in a peaceful way. I told you who the enemy is. The enemy is us. The enemy is the liberal media. The liberal media is bending over backwards and creating a lie that Muslims are being picked on. I have also cited evidence from the Muslim military organization that says they have not one reported incident of any prejudice against Muslims in the military. It is a fiction of ABC, CBS, NBC, and MSNBC. They want to create a continuation of their big lie. They're the very same people who have picked on the police for doing their job against murderers. They're the very people who have always taken the side of the other side. They will always take the side of the enemy against the victim. That is why the American media is hated so much by the American people.
Tell me, Dr. Sad, am I wrong when I say this? When I say a Christian becomes closer to Jesus Christ, The Christian prays and loves their enemy. But when a Muslim becomes closer to Islam, the Muslim wages jihad on the infidel.
I would say that that's a theological question that I can't really answer, because I think it's up to the individual who is making that commitment. We do know that the jihadist is different than the average Muslim, just as the fanatic in any situation is different than the norm. But the jihadist is a threat in America, just as Major Nadal carried around a business card that said he was a soldier of Allah, which should have set off the alarm bells throughout the military, throughout the CIA, throughout the FBI, and they missed it. So, yes, you have to focus on the extremists and root them out of the military and out of the police and out of anywhere they appear before they create more body bags. That's what I would say. That's all. Simple as that. Any questions for me? 1-800-4. How about Obama's trip to China? Salt Lake City. Nate, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Michael, good to talk to you. I've listened to you 10-plus years. Now that Barack Obama is in power, I'm more than ever proud of the fact that I'm an American citizen, because I believe that the Constitution is a God-given document by men whom the God of heaven raised up for the very purpose of writing a Constitution that guaranteed the first free men of modern times. What we have in office is not an American president, but a world president. That's why he's going over to China and on all these other world tours. He no longer represents me, the American citizen, you. We have a world socialist communist in power who's pushing their agenda. It couldn't be more opposite.
Now, you sound like an extremist on this, but the fact is I've said the exact same things on this show and in my own house. I agree with you 100%. I believe Obama is an absolute world. I believe that the man, let's put it this way. If he walks like a communist, if he talks like a communist, he is a communist. If he surrounds himself by hardcore Marxists and Maoists and Leninists openly, what would you say he is? If the man is out of the country more than he's in the country, if the man in 10 months gives 5 foreign tours and 5 foreign speeches where he apologizes for America, would you say that he represents America? No, he represents world interests, and he is therefore trying to triangulate America and turn us into just another colony of the international bankers. That's really what you're saying. Let's be very clear who is in charge here. Who is in charge here are the bankers who busted our financial system in order to further turn us into a chattel that they can't control. And the fact of the matter is Obama has about as much power as the Queen of England does.
Absolutely. I can answer why we're in Afghanistan as well, Michael.
It's why?
Two purposes. We're in there jointly with Britain. We're there fighting the supposed the terrorists, the Taliban. They used to be freedom fighters when they were against the Russians, but now they're Mujahideen, and they're the terrorists. Now, in the British territory, they have the opium trade. They've always had the opium trade. It serves two purposes. It serves a distraction, saying that we're in Afghanistan to fight terrorists and to keep radical Islam on decline.
But what, you're saying that we're in Afghanistan simply to protect the opium trail?
Absolutely. The British have always been involved in the opium trail, and it serves this administration's purpose that we're fighting jihad. Meanwhile, they're passing the world socialist agenda behind our back. This people have been deceived, Michael.
Well, if I thought you were the first person to say this or to state it on the internet or to call a talk show and say it, I would not have taken the call, but since you are not the first, nor would you be the last, I will say thank you for calling the program, and I will be right back.
Savage.
We have to understand that the future of the United States and Asia is inextricably linked. The issues that matter most to our people, issues of economic growth and job creation, non-proliferation, clean energy, these are all issues that have to be part of a joint agenda, and we had very productive discussions about these issues this evening.
Fine. Non-proliferation, yeah, more of the pacifism and socialism that we've heard before. You know, when he won a year ago, I said, it remains to be seen whether the model of socialism he will follow will be that of Neville Chamberlain or of others. After a year in office, I would say he has been playing the Neville Chamberlain road. But behind the scenes are Lenin, Marx, Trotsky, and others. Some of them have been thrown out of office owing to the work of those in the media who have exposed them, and that's a good sign. But we're a long way from free, I can tell you that right now. And please bear with me when I tell you that my battle to free my name in Britain is intimately tied up with Obama, Hillary Clinton, Gordon Brown, how one man has stood firm against an entire government to free my name from a list of murderers and terrorists is a story that will be told for decades to come. And I'm reaching out to people of all faiths, all political parties, and all creeds who value your right to free speech and the sanctity of independent thought. I do not talk about my battle anymore. I do not talk about my book for a couple of reasons. But I want to tell you that the political crisis that we're facing worldwide, that is running rampant in international politics, that is running rampant in America, the censorship being used by outright Marxist regimes in power, and the trend of globalism that would like to impose censorship in America is what this book is all about. And I lay out the intricate chain of events that resulted from a silent approval of dictatorial powers right here in America, where first free speech was removed and then freedom of assembly will follow and so on until the entire national infrastructure will be eroded. And I am warning you, in my book, Abandoned Britain, about all of these things. And I expose the secret emails that disclose how the British government colluded to destroy my name and reputation. It also includes the speech that I was to have given at the Cambridge Union that was blocked at the last minute, again by nefarious individuals. And I believe that although you haven't heard about this book anywhere, you have to understand that I'm the only member of the U.S. media ever blacklisted from a Western nation. You should understand that my being banned from visiting Britain in May of 2009 has made me the poster child for free speech in the entire West. I am the poster child for free speech. Make no mistake about it. There is nobody on Fox who has been threatened the way I have been threatened. And anyone in America concerned about a cultural shift towards totalitarianism and your rights to freedom of expression, and for people listening to this show around the world, I will tell you that my book, Banned in Britain, is the best document you can have in order to defend yourself against these evil people who we call globalists, but who others call by other name. I also want to conclude this little, shall I say, commercial, by telling you that in mid-2009, the worldwide media attention concerning this ban, which did not occur in the United States, by the way, I have worldwide following because of this, but not in the United States of America. It resulted in a New Yorker magazine profile written about me, which you should read, where I am called a party of one. Anyway, I suggest you buy a copy of Banned in Britain while you still can. It's a fabulous book to read, and it's an important document. It's not simply a picture of a pretty guy with a pretty dog. 1-800-449-8255. Missouri, Andrew, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Dr. Savage, thank you for taking my call. You are the one I listen to pretty much on a weekly basis now that I'm no longer on an evening shift. That I listen to you for the news. I can't even stand to hardly watch these major networks.
I have turned them off. I can't even watch Fox anymore. I can't take it. They have moved so far to the center that they may as well be the CNN of 5 years ago. I don't know what they're thinking. But all I can tell you is that I can't watch them anymore. I can't even watch the news. I get agitated. There's so much on the other side that I don't know which side anyone's playing for anymore. And I'm playing for America. I'm on this team 100%. Here
Savage.
I am.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
here's what's on michaelsavage.com. Don't miss this before it leaves the site, please. If you think I'm making it up, Major Hassan, the slaughterer at Fort Hood, the one who Obama says simply cracked, the one who the media says was under stress, the one who says was picked on because he's a Muslim, had secret code on his own government business card, secret code which said he was a soldier of Allah on his business card. And this was missed by the FBI, by the CIA, by NCIS, and by the Army Investigative Services. Can you believe this? If you think I'm making it up, we have a picture of Nidal Hassan's business card on my website, michaelsavage.com, which clearly shows that he proclaimed himself an SOA, a soldier of Allah, on private business cards that he kept in his apartment near Fort Hood, Texas. He told everyone clearly who he was and what he was doing. In another story, here is a partial list of radical Muslim attacks, in case those of you who are listening believe Obama, that it was simply because this particular radical Islamic terrorist cracked. Munich Olympic Massacre, September 5th, 1972. The assassination of the ambassador to Sudan, March 2nd, 1973. Attack and hijacking at the Rome airport, December 17th, 1973. Ambassador to Afghanistan assassinated February 14, 1979. Iran hostage crisis, November 1979. Grand Mosque seizure, November 20, 1979. Assassination of Egyptian president, October 6, 1981. Bombing of U.S. Embassy in Beirut, 1983. Bombing of Marine Barracks, Beirut, 1983. Kidnapping of embassy official, March 1984. TWA hijacking, 1985. Achille Lauro hijacking, October 1985. Egyptian airliner hijacking, November 1985. Airport attacks in Rome and Vienna, December 1985. Aircraft bombing in Greece, March 1986. Kidnapping of William Higgins, U.S. Marine Corps lieutenant. Kidnapping and murdered by the Iranian-backed Hezbollah, February 1988. Pan Am 103 bombing, December 1988. Bombing of Flight 772, September 1989. Bombing of the Israeli embassy in Argentina, March 1992. World Trade Center bombing, February 26, 1993. Air France hijacking, December 24, 1994. Jerusalem bus attack, August 1995. Saudi military installation attack, November 1995. Terrorist attacks on U.S. homeland, September 2001. Kidnapping and beheading of Daniel Pearl, January 23, 2002. Those are just a few, mind you, a fraction of the attacks by radical Islamists around the world. I guess you could say that all of them cracked from the strain. I guess you could say that they were picked on for being Muslim. I guess you could say that if you worked for ABC, CBS, NBC, or CNN. On the right side of michaelsavage.com, I got to remind you again, banned in Britain, Michael Savage. This is the book you're going to want to give your husband for Christmas and the holidays. What are you going to give him, a cardigan that says Happy Obama to them? Ladies, be real. You're going to want this book. There are only a few copies left of the first printing. You can only get it on michaelsavage.com. Read it. It's an important document. Your husband's going to love it. From CNN, classmates say that Major Hassan defended suicide bombings. A Democratic senator opposes trying terrorists in civilian courts. That's right. You heard me right. James Webb, former Navy commander, just released a statement disagreeing with Obama's decision to try 9/11 mastermind Khalid Sheikh Mohammed in a civilian court. Here's another question for you. Who actually shot Hassan during the Fort Hood massacre? Who actually stopped him? Was it the woman that we all heard about? Or was it the black cop who was the real hero? Go to michaelsavage.com and check out the murky details. From the Houston Chronicle. Muslims decry move to seize a Houston mosque. No kidding. Janet Napolitano, you know who she is, don't you? The head of Homeland Security, the one who said watch out for returning Army veterans, Christians, right-wingers. She says an immigration debate is coming in 2010. Really? I guess she's working for the other side. We have another one by Wes Pruden. You can't miss it. On vacation with Mr. Dithers. Every modern president takes refuge abroad when the going gets rough at home. Before the jet airplane, life was simpler and presidents could get respite with a train trip to Cleveland or Buffalo. Read the article. You won't want to miss it. NASA says evidence of water found in moon crater. Obama is pushing a radical's radical onto the federal bench. Attention, gun owners of America. He is being called extreme by some, but to others, this judge is known as a radical's radical. Welcome to the new America. Good news out of France. Sarkozy says burqas have no place in France. He said becoming French means adhering to a form of civilization, to values and to morals. And I guess he means putting a wife in a bedsheet that covers all of her body really is not a modern way to live. Thank you, Sarkozy, for standing up for civilization. Has Obama peaked? Yes, he has, says Stephen Stark. Read all about it on michaelsavage.com. This important story, Dem senator opposes trying terrorists in civilian courts, is very, very important. He says he's very concerned about the wisdom of doing this. He says those who have committed acts of international terrorism are enemy combatants, just as certainly as the Japanese pilots who killed thousands of Americans at Pearl Harbor. He claims it will be disruptive, costly, and counterproductive to try terrorists as criminals in our civilian courts. He also warns that the precedent being set by this decision by Obama deserves careful scrutiny as we consider proper venues for trying those now held at Guantanamo. He said these people do not belong in our country. They do not belong in our courts, and they do not belong in our prisons. He says, I have consistently argued that military commissions with the additional procedural rules added by Congress and enacted by Obama are the most appropriate venue for trying individuals judged to be enemy combatants. Good for James Webb. At least there's one Democrat with a brain. That's the news roundup here on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
It is Friday, and here's James Hurston with a report on the shenanigans going on in Hollywood.
John King, you know him, a so-called veteran CNN reporter who toes the mainstream media line. He'll replace departing host Lou Dobbs in a new weeknight political program, according to CNN. King is currently the chief national political correspondent and the host of Sunday political show State of the Union. And CNN named King as this new primetime host after Lou Dobbs' abrupt resignation before the end of his contract, which expired in 2011. The cable network has released Dobbs from his contractual obligation, so we may see him pop up on, as they say, another network.
Oh, like we didn't see that coming.
And Dobbs was under attack by various subversive groups, some of the same ones that attack you, Michael, for his views on illegal immigration. And King's new show, John King's new show, will start early next year and is destined to be a flop in the ratings. So why the abrupt departure by this longtime host? Well, first of all, Dobbs was not well-liked at CNN. CNN has been marketing itself as the hard news alternative to the other cable networks. Here's a quote from a CNN staffer from the Politico. Quote, I think it's safe to say that he, Dobbs, won't be missed among the rank-and-file employees at the network. This guy went on to say, the Dobbs show has existed in its own little universe for the last several years, in many ways cut off from the rest of the editorial process at CNN. Most people will be left wondering what this means for the primetime lineup and whether Klein, that's the chairman, can now deliver on his down-the-middle mantra. Down the middle?
Oh, don't get me started.
Down the middle on CNN means, as Beyonce would sing, to the left. Dobbs called himself an independent.
Mm-hmm.
He said he had a strong populist streak. And although he didn't mention any groups by name on his last show, an incident that nobody reported in the light of his resignation may be something that influenced Dobbs. New Jersey State Police are still investigating something that poses danger to the CNN host or former CNN host and his family. You see, Michael, Dobbs' home in rural northwest New Jersey was struck by a bullet last month. Dobbs' wife and his driver heard a gunshot outside the host's home on October 5th at around 10:25 a.m. This home is located about 50 miles northwest of New York City, and a bullet hit the house near the roof but didn't penetrate the siding. It dropped to the ground outside. They found the bullet. It was given to the state police ballistics unit for testing. Dobbs went on TV during late October. He said a shot was fired at his house. He said it occurred after a series of threatening phone calls. Now, there's small game hunting season in the area where Dobbs lives, but the concern is over those who might be hunting Dobbs. In his farewell, Dobbs noted that major issues today are, as he said, defined in the public arena by partisanship and ideology rather than by rigorous empirical thought and forthright analysis and discussion. Now, that could apply to the way the Savage Nation approaches these issues. Empirical thought and forthright analysis.
Exactly.
And by the way, speaking of CNN, former Miss California USA Carrie Prejean threatened to walk off a CNN talk host named Larry King, one of your favorites, demanded to know why she and Miss California pageant organizers settled lawsuits. Now, King was well aware that there had been reports that Prejean had been shown a copy of a sex tape in order to convince her to settle her case. That's what the reports said. But Prejean was coming out with a book, and that's why she was on the show. And she had appeared with the understanding that the discussion of her youthful indiscretion, the sexting, was off limits. And King treated Prejean like she was a criminal defendant. It was unbelievable, the questioning that he gave. "Why did you settle?" he said. "You don't have to tell me the terms, but why settle when you had a fight to carry on?" And Prejean said, "I'll say it again. This is confidential. I'm not going to be able to talk about it." Now, it's a routine thing for lawyers to insist on a confidentiality clause in most settlement agreements. Prejean had publicly admitted to creating this sex tape with a former boyfriend when she was young. TMZ reported that pageant organizers had obtained a copy of the tape and used it as leverage in these legal negotiations with Prejean. But Larry King persisted, despite her saying it was confidential. "So you can't even say why you settled?" he asked. "How does that break what you settled for?" And Prejean insisted, "It's confidential. Larry, you're being inappropriate. You really are." "What?" asked a shocked Larry King. "I'm asking you a question." Again, she said it was confidential. "Mr. Kid Glove, Mr. Softball, Larry King, all of a sudden becomes this tiger. He's clearly selective with which guests. He gets his suspenders in a twist."
True.
Well, I guess it reminds me of that old tune, "Hats Off to Larry." And hats off to you, Michael. Thanks for all you do. Back to you, my friend.
Hey, thanks for the report, James. Ice skating bear kills Russian circus hand. Ah, sad. A bear in ice skates attacked two people during rehearsals at a circus in Bishkek, the capital of Kyrgyzstan, killing one of them. Kyrgyzstan officials said Friday. In the incident which happened Thursday, the five-year-old animal killed the circus administrator Dmitry Potapov and mauled an animal trainer who was attempting to rescue him. It's not really funny. I mean, as a cipher, I can't announce these cities in Russia. The incident occurred during a rehearsal by the Russian state circus company Troupe, which was performing in Bishkek with the program Bears on Ice. Ministry of Culture and Information Director Kurmangzi Iznyarev told reporters. It is unclear what caused the bear to attack Potapov, 25, nearly severing one of his legs while dragging... Oh, come on, let's stop this. Medical personnel were unable to save Potapov, who died at the scene. Well, I'm sorry the guy got hurt. Let's stop right there. I'm not into training bears to ride on a motorcycle, to ice skate, and to play hockey. Okay, maybe the Russians can move into the 1940s. You know, that's before people had any awareness that animals had, you know, like emotions. You know, maybe the Russian society can move up a little bit, maybe to the 18th century. Even the to Tsarist Russia, at least. Well, what are you training a bear to run around on ice skates? Eventually, the thing's going to go crazy. Probably could have been a pay dispute, for all I know. Maybe they withheld berries or something. You know, things are bad in Russia right now. They didn't give him enough, you know, blueberries in his meal. I told you, I want 2 pounds of blueberries a day, or you never know what's going to happen. All right. Here you go. Here's the half a pound of blueberries that your father got. And you're lucky to have that. If you only know what it was like in this circus in the 1920s, people didn't even get blueberries. You stupid bear, you. Now take it and forget it. All right, I'm warning you. I'm warning you. You cut back on those blueberries. You keep putting that Prozac in my pablum. You just don't know what could happen. All right, get back in the cage. We'll see you at the circus, okay? I mean, so they cut back on the blueberries, and that's what happened. There was blueberry bear compensation problems there in Russia. Play some rock and roll.
Take good care of my baby. Please don't ever make her blue. Just tell her that you love her. Make sure you're thinking of her in everything you say and do.
It's Rock and Roll Friday on the Savage Nation. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Obama's paybacks to his campaign contributors is still ongoing. This transparent administration has been anything but that. Joining us now from the Heritage Foundation is James Shirk with a report looking into decreasing union transparency.
Thanks, Michael. President Obama was elected to the White House campaigning against special interest lobbying. But it's turned out that now that he's in Washington, he's giving into special interests. It's just different special interests than those he criticized. Perhaps the most disturbing example of this is what he's doing to union members and union financial transparency. When President Bush was in office, his Labor Secretary, Elaine Chao, modernized the financial transparency forms that the unions have to file. Previously, while the law says that unions have to tell their members how they're spending their dues, the actual forms that they filled in gave the union members basically no useful information whatsoever. They just report extremely highly aggregated totals, amounts of spending, so you wouldn't know what really they were spending your money on if you're a union member, which is a problem because the dues that union workers pay, 1% to 2% of their paycheck, is not the personal money of the union bosses. It belongs to the workers. It's being spent on their behalf to advocate for their interests. That's what it should be spent on. That's what the law requires the unions to spend it on. But as long as there's no financial transparency, no one could really tell what was happening with the money. Well, Secretary Chao came in and modernized the forms to provide real financial transparency. So union members could look at the new forms and see exactly how their unions were spending them. She required the unions to itemize the money they spent so that workers can see line items, to report the salaries they paid to the top union members. She updated the conflict of interest reporting form so that it would cover more workers and would provide more useful information, and the union financial trusts so that, say, you've got a training program for workers on unemployment insurance, that you can actually see how those trust funds are being spent to ensure that it's spent on actually providing workers with the training that they're entitled to and that their dues are funding them to get. Well, the union movement has not been a fan of this transparency at all. Union members love it. But the union leaders themselves do not like the fact that they're now accountable. Because many times workers are taking a look at how their dues are being spent, and they want none of it. This just happened in Colorado, where you had the president of the UFCW local, that's the United Food and Commercial Workers, Ernie Duran Jr. And he was just voted out by the membership. Overwhelming rejection. Him and his entire leadership team was voted out, almost entirely new board of directors. Why? Because of these new financial transparency forms, the union members were able to see that he was paying himself a six-figure salary. He had his son and his daughter on the payroll for six-figure salaries. He was using union dues, expensing his personal car repairs, tickets to Denver Bronco games, top-shelf margaritas. Well, the union members wanted none of this. Their dues were being abused. They weren't getting a value for the money, and so they voted in a new leadership team. Or we've had criminal convictions where the vice president of the Service International Employees International Union was recently forced to step down and is facing prosecution because she had tens of thousands of dollars of union dues spent on her boyfriend. So that's what the union members' dues were going for.
Well, isn't that a good thing?
So, well, it's good for the union members themselves. The unions hate it. They absolutely hate it. And so they're trying to get it repealed. So when President Obama took office, the unions had made up a list of their lobbying wish list. And fairly high up there was just get all these financial transparency reforms. And that, we found out just a month ago, is exactly what is happening. There was a notice published in the Federal Register that President Obama is going to be repealing the last set of the union financial transparency reforms that took effect. These were the ones that forced the unions to disclose the total benefits, so not just the total salary, but the total benefits, and the the union officers and leaders were receiving, as well as let the union members know the names of the people who were buying and selling union assets. So you couldn't have the union president giving a sweetheart deal to, say, his brother or his cousin to buy union assets at your fire sale discounts and then kick back money to him. Union members should be able to know this. Well, those regulations are pretty much gone now. And what's expected is that the rest of the reforms, the itemizing the expenditures, the union trusts, everything else that that Elaine Chao put through that gave union members control over the union, that gave them, that forced the union leaders to be accountable, those are all expected to be repealed before President Obama leaves office. Now, you might ask, why would Obama do this? He campaigned on transparency. He campaigned on fighting against special interest lobbying. And transparency and accountability and how your dues monies are spent is a pretty obvious thing to do. Why would he do this? Well, the union movement spent over $1 billion to elect him and to elect the current Democratic Congress. That's between the ads that they funded on television, between the phone banks and the door-to-door efforts, and the money they donated to the Democratic Party, $1 billion. So when the union movement said that they wanted these financial transparency reforms gone, the president asked them how quickly they wanted it done. And that's what we're seeing is happening now.
Well, who gains from this?
It's going to be good news for the union bosses themselves. Not so good for their members. Take a look at how the unions are spending, as some of their members do. The National Education Association represents teachers. Well, for some reason, they saw fit to give $500,000 to Acorn's Brooklyn office. Yes, that's the same Brooklyn office that got hit by the investigative sting video, where they were handing out tax advice on how to hide prostitution and how to set up a brothel. That very same Acorn office, which we now had basically no ethical standards, received $500,000 from a teacher's union. Do you think that those teachers might be interested in knowing how their dues are being spent? That's why the NEA wants to get this transparency gone. That's why all the unions want this gone. They just want to be able to spend their members' dues and not have anyone ask any questions, not have anyone pose any embarrassing questions, and certainly not have what happened to the UFCW president out in Colorado. They don't want to lose their jobs because they're doing a bad job. They do not want to be accountable. And President Obama is facilitating this. This is not the change that Americans were promised. When President Obama promised to stand up to special interests, he should have clarified that he promised to stand up to special interests who hadn't given his campaign lots of contributions.
James Shirk, thanks for being on the Savage Nation.
Thank you, Michael.
Let's do a review of this week. On Monday, my reactions in the Fort Hood shootings were these. From 9/11 to 11/5, the Fort Hood shooting is a second 9/11. But we learn nothing. We the people have seen that the government has failed us again. Let's be clear. The FBI failed us in this terrorist attack, just as they did in the last one. Why do I say that? It was known long before the attack who the perpetrators were, that is, of 9/11. We knew that they were planning something. Yet the intelligence agencies did nothing. The government learned nothing from 9/11, despite all of the face-saving gestures of the 9/11 Commission. They said it'll never happen again. And here we have it happening again on a small scale. It's not a small scale if you lost your father. It's not a small scale if you lost your son or your brother. Who in the government do you think is most to blame for failing to learn the lessons of 9/11 and who permitted the Fort Hood massacre to occur? And that's the first question. And who in the government is most to blame for failing to learn the lessons of 9/11? Is it the FBI? Is it the Army itself? What's worse to me is that the army itself has demonstrated a suicidal mentality throughout this crisis. Not only did Army Chief of Staff General Casey say that losing the army's diversity would be a greater tragedy than the shooting, but Hassan's former army colleagues are now saying that they didn't want to discipline his inadequate performance because he was a Muslim. They didn't want to offend the Muslim. They knew he was no good. They knew he was a rotten apple. But they didn't want to do anything for fear of offending Muslims. With an attitude like this, the army is dead as a fighting force. End of story. FBI refused to probe Fort Hood jihadi despite contact with al-Qaeda. You heard that story. Major Nidal Hassan, corresponded by email late last year and this year with a radical cleric in Yemen, who has criticized the U.S. for waging war against Muslims, but the contact did not lead to an investigation by Barbara Boxer's FBI chief, Mr. Mueller. You got to remember who appointed Mueller. Barbara Boxer asserted that the appointment of Bob Mueller was a great idea. Now, I have been a fan of Mr. Mueller because although he's, you know, comes from a liberal city and was a liberal judge, I thought he did a very fair job until now. But now I see that the failure is endemic in the government. Wherever you turn, the government has failed us. You know, they say this is anti-government talk. Well, let me ask you something. How do you feel today with the dead and wounded walking around Fort Hood and them all pointing fingers at anyone who says anything about radical Muslims? We'll have more Savage Review after this.
Savage.
Continuing our review of the week. Now here, this is from Tuesday. Let's go to another issue. There's a victory out there as well, which is that the Maoist, the woman who praised Mao Zedong, the woman who attacked Fox News, the woman who attacked conservatives, the spokesmouth for Obama, not that undertaker that he has up there, that loser, he'll be gone soon, that Gibbs. Gibbs will be back working in a junior high school soon, but we're talking about the woman there. She got fired. They threw her overboard. She got thrown overboard. White House Communications Director Anita Dunn, the one who praised Mao Zedong, that Mao Zedong, by the way, killed 60 million of his fellow Chinese, either through direct murder or through mass starvation. She praised Mao Zedong. She also attacked Fox News and conservatives in radio. She's the second czar to be thrown out. So it's two for us and zero for the libs. We're winning. They're getting the message. I have a feeling that Obama may be either triangulating his opposition or he's trying to get rid of the radicals around him now that he has absolute power, and that we're going to see a more centrist wing of the Democrat Party reassert its control over the children, the radical children, college people who have taken over the Democrat Party. It just might be a sign of hope that they understand that they're out of control. They don't know what they're doing. They're surrounding themselves by incompetent left-wing lunatics. I'm sort of an eternal optimist on that. And this story, according to a new story that came out, this is a shocker. 10% of U.S. mosques preach hatred and jihad, according to an FBI agent who spoke to Ronald Kessler of Newsmax. Imams preach jihad and extremism in 10% of the 2,000 mosques in the U.S., the FBI estimates. But you won't read that in the New York Times. Because if we condemn the radical Muslims, were accused of being racist, and that's why we're losing the war against radical Islam. It gets worse, though. It gets even worse. According to the Liberal Pew Research Center, a quarter of Muslims in America, a quarter of Muslims in America ages 18 through 29 believe that suicide bombings can be justified. Now, who is putting this in the heads of the young Muslims? It's the imams who preach hate and jihad in American mosques, and by their postings on the internet, not according to Michael Savage, but according to the FBI counterterrorism officials, who the author of this article interviewed, Ronald Kessler. Did you hear this? An FBI official says off the books, "Those who actively support extremist causes, say America is evil and deserves what it gets and celebrate the death of soldiers, know they may come to our attention, so they don't do it as openly now. But they do it. They do it in mosques. They do it in mosques. And we sit here like sitting ducks." If you missed Wednesday, boy, did you miss this. MichaelSavage.com is the website. You're the caller. You're important. We go to Portland, Oregon. Jay, thank you for holding. You're on the Savage Nation. Your opinion counts.
Thank you so much for the Gert Wilder interview 2.5 weeks ago, Doctor. He is your voice in Holland, and I had shivers up my spine when you played that when I was driving, and I thought, what's going to happen? And what did we get 2 weeks later? It was almost like a crystal ball sitting in your radio station.
Oh, my God. I didn't put two and two together. It's as almost he was warning on my show what they were going to do in our country and get away with it with a little help from their friends in the government media complex. Look how ABC is bending over backwards and NBC to justify the murders, almost justifying the murder.
Well,
the murders.
It just.
How does a lowlife like Chris Matthews get away with this? Well, he gets up and says, is it a crime to contact Al-Qaeda? How does a lowlife get away with a thing like that? Are there no standards in television broadcasting?
Doctor, I think the reason why he gets away with it is because America is asleep at the wheel, watching too much sports, watching too much garbage, and they're just immune to it. They don't believe it's going to happen. And I guess what I'm worried about after listening to that interview is what's next. This is Fort Hood's one thing. Doctor, he speaks Gert from Holland. He knows full well what's been going on over there, and he was quite
active. You want me to tell you what's going to happen? I'll tell you. I'll make a prediction. Whoever was behind him, and he didn't act alone in my opinion, they did a trial run at Fort Hood. They said, look, let's see if a soldier can get away with this and not be prosecuted right away, and the media right away defends him, and the president defends him. Why don't we try a small to medium-sized American city and see what happens? Maybe we can count on Chris Matthews, Charles Gibson, and Barack Obama to say that maybe the man who set off the atomic bomb in a suitcase just snapped, that he wasn't connected to anything larger. Maybe that's possible. Maybe they can even get Geraldo Rivera to say that it was a toothache that caused the next bomb to go off and took out a small to medium-sized city. I mean, maybe that's what they're playing, an incremental game to see how far they can go before the people finally stand up and throw the leadership out and put in real Americans.
Well, I appreciate so much that you put him on, Doctor. And, you know, shout out to all those veterans out there right now, past and present. I've got a son in the Navy who can't wait to get out because he's worried about what's happening. And
what do you mean, get out of the military because of what's happening in terms of the political cowardice?
A couple of reasons. Number one...
You mean all the pregnant women aboard ship? He can't get through the companionways?
And I've had good long talks with him. He's got his...
Oh, yeah, a good percentage. I heard that 20% of all Navy personnel at sea are inactive, unable to perform at any time because of pregnancy. This is our review of the Savage Week. I want to take a moment out to thank the veterans that in my family and those that I know. In my own family, they've all passed away. Saul Lindemann served in Europe. Nate Wiener served in Japan. And there's a member of my family, not blood-related, who is a real hero, who passed away a few years ago. He is the father of one of our close friends, Lieutenant Colonel May. I hope his widow is listening out of Sacramento. I have his drinking cup that you gave me at a Thanksgiving dinner a few years ago, and I cherish this. It's the cup that your hero husband, Lieutenant Colonel May, drank from with his buddies after his missions. He flew 200 combat missions in Vietnam between 1973 and 74. And the cup says, Sawa D, Lieutenant Colonel May, 7th ACCS, Hillsboro, Korat RTAFB, 1973-74. This is one of my most cherished possessions. I never talk about it, but it's one of the greatest gifts I've ever been given. And so I lift my cup today, Sawa D, to Lieutenant Colonel May and all those in my family and all of your families who have served so bravely to give us the freedom of speech that I now enjoy on this radio show and that is being taken away from us by the fifth column working out of the White House and everywhere else in the media. And this story, I'm a student of history, number one. The British got defeated in Afghanistan. We haven't learned from that experience. Do you remember the Russian military fought in Afghanistan? Do you remember how powerful the USSR was at the time? Do you have any recollection of the kind of weaponry they were able to bring onto that battlefield? Do you remember the images of those helicopters coming over a mountain pass? Maybe you saw them in movies. Now, you were an Afghani Taliban fighting against them. What would you feel? They were brave enough to stand up with, by the way, Stinger missiles given to them by the United States military. I should say the United States government, gave the very men we're fighting now Stinger missiles to shoot down Russian helicopters. Well, today the Afghanis don't need American aid. They've got it from many, many other sources. Iran primarily, probably Russia. I'm not so sure. I don't know where they're getting their weapons. And so, therefore, I ask you, not only from the point of view strategically, can we win, but should we be there? Strategically, I don't know how we can win there. Where's the enemy? Who is the enemy? Who is the enemy in Afghanistan? First, let's define terms. We knew who the enemy was when the men were fighting against the Germans. Let's start with the obvious. It was the fascist Nazi party. They were identifiable. They were on a quest to rule the world and impose the Nazi ideology throughout the world. So when the men were fighting, although they were scared to death like every man who fights in war is, at least they knew what they were fighting for and who the enemy was. Can you say with any certainty that you know who the enemy is in Afghanistan and why we're fighting there? If you can, please help me understand it, because I don't. I don't know who the enemy is. That's it for our Savage Review of the Week. This is the Savage Nation.
Savage.